Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the October 19th, 2023 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Affordable Housing Trust Fund. This meeting is also being conducted via live teleconference for public access. The time is 10:13. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Kelly Kenya Valley, Deputy General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Kelly Kenyon LaValle, Deputy General Counsel of RI Housing. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. Carol Ventura, Trustee of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund and Executive Director of RI Housing, will preside at today's meeting. Trustees, RA Housing Commissioners, and staff, please state your name each and every time prior to speaking. Now I will return to Carol to proceed with today's agenda.
Thank you, Kelly. I will now conduct a roll call of the trustees of the Affordable Housing Trust. Carol LaChapelle.
Here.
Chairman Stephen Pryor.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Let's move on to action item number one, approval of minutes of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund meeting held on June 29, 2023. May I have a motion to approve?
This is Kara. I make a motion.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion? Kelly, please conduct the vote.
Thank you. This is Kelly. Trustees, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund meeting held on June 29, 2023, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Thank you. This is Carol Ventura. Action item number two on the agenda is approval of homeownership investment fund awards. Ann Berman, Director of Real Estate Development, along with Lauren, will present this action. Or Lauren, will you be taking the lead?
Yes.
Yes. Lauren Farley will take the lead on this. Thank you.
Good morning. Lauren Farley, Program Manager. This request for action is for the approval of 5 awards under the Homeownership Investment Fund, HIF. HIF was created in 2018 by Rhode Island Housing and the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and about $3 million has been invested to create 50 HIF-assisted units across the state. The program was modified slightly back in June. AMI targeting was lowered from 120% AMI to 100% AMI, and we now accept rolling applications. In July, Rhode Island Housing issued HIF's 4th RFP with $2 million available to award. To date, 6 applications have been submitted. They've been reviewed by Rhode Island Housing staff in accordance with the HIF threshold criteria. That's a complete application, readiness to proceed within 4 months of commitment, financial feasibility, and experience and capacity to complete and market for sale housing. Today, Rhode Island Housing staff is recommending funding for 5 HIF proposals in the amount of $991,984. These awards will produce 13 HIF assist units in Smithfield, Pawtucket, Providence, and Cranston. The recommendations include 28 to 30 Portland Street in Providence, sponsored by Omni Development and Wingate Capital Partners. Omni is proposing to construct 2 2-bedroom and 2 3-bedroom homes on vacant lands adjacent to the Joseph Caffey Apartments and Jordan Caffey Townhomes. They're currently nearing construction completion. They will be sold to families earning up to 80% AMI. This project will create new low-income homeownership opportunities in a neighborhood with a low homeownership rate, and they will complement 79 newly developed rental units nearby to provide a diversity of income and tenancy in the neighborhood. Their request is for $207,500. Next one is Matthewson Street in Cranston, and that's sponsored by SWAP. They're proposing new construction on vacant land of a 2-family home, a 2-bedroom owner-occupied unit and a 2-bedroom rental unit. Also be sold to a family earning up to 80%, and the rental unit will be for a tenant earning up to 80%. The two-family model is the most in demand for SWAP's Build-A-Buyer program. They're seeking $246,000. Next, we have Old County Village in Smithfield. That's sponsored by Atlantic Northeast Property Management, and they're proposing construction of 5 affordable homeownership condominium units as part of a 79-unit condominium project in Smithfield on Old County Road. Overall, there will be 24-bedroom units restricted to families earning up to 120% AMI in the entire development. Atlantic is seeking HIF funding to construct the first 5 affordable condo units. Smithfield has 5.5% affordable housing, mostly rental. So this will, these homes will provide affordable homeownership opportunities in Smithfield community, near school, park, and library, and they're seeking $350,000 from HIF. We have 241 Vine Street in Pawtucket, sponsored by Pawtucket Central Falls Development Corporation. They're proposing to rehab a vacant 3-bedroom single-family home in Darlington. This property will be sold to a first-time home buyer, earning up to 100% AMI. PCFDC will serve as the general contractor. They've been really successful with this model. Reduces costs and development time. And they're seeking $80,000 from HIF. Similarly, 931 York Avenue in Pawtucket, it's also in Darlington. This is the rehab of a 4-bedroom vacant home, sold to a family earning up to 100% AMI, and PCFDC will also serve as the general contractor. They're looking for $108,816 from HIF. Did I answer any questions?
Thank you, Lauren. Any questions for the trustees or our commissioners in attendance?
I do have a question.
I figured you might.
Thank you. Lauren, could you just go over how much funds remain to award, and it's noted that it's on a rolling basis, so is that dependent on a RFP and the applications are accepted, or any time from here on out someone can
first come first out? Yep, first come first serve, so they can submit applications through our one-stop app and we review them as they come in. If they meet the threshold criteria and they're ready to proceed, then
okay.
So we have about
how much in funds then remain to award?
About $900,000.
Okay. And is there a cap on the award per unit?
$425,000 is the cap, but none of them came close to that.
And that's just a cap on subsidy per unit?
On cost per unit.
Is there a cap on the amount of subsidy per unit?
Yes. It's for 80%, it's $190,000. $190,000, yep, for an 80% AMI home, and $175,000 for 100% AMI.
And then I noticed that there are ranges, I'd say, in the amount of award per unit, and also the amount that, on a percentage basis, that the actual sales proceeds will make up of sources, from a low of, say, about 35% up to maybe 75%. So I don't know, maybe talk to that a little bit. It seems to be a very wide range, and maybe some projects are taking much less subsidy than others to produce the same number of units.
I think that the projects are all very different. So there are existing homes being rehabbed and then new construction of townhomes and Providence or in Smithfield, so they're all very different projects. So to find, and they all have different funding sources. So there's not a lot of a very diverse range of projects. So that the costs per the rehab are very different as well.
I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Couple of questions, if I may. First, can you remind us how many applications did we receive and how many approvals are we given from that application set, just really fundamentally?
We've received 6 applications. 5 are being recommended right now. There is one application that did not have it wasn't complete at the time of application. And when we wrote the board action, it's now, we have a complete application now, and it will likely be recommended at the next AHT meeting. That's for 6 units.
As a general practice, do we try to approve all eligible projects through this?
The meet threshold, yes.
Got it. And if you don't mind, I just want to dig in just for understanding and illustration on Matthewson Street. Some of these may be rudimentary, so just use that with me. So sources-wise, we've got the fund itself, and we've got the FAP going in, 246, 133, total in the 179 or 380 zone. Is that, in effect, the investment from Island Housing or our affiliates?
Yes.
All of us? Yeah.
$190,000 per unit of subsidy for that, each of those units.
Is that, and this may be a continuation of some of the questioning here, but is that considered in the appropriate range, or is that high?
Well, actually, if you look at the investment on Portland Street, if you add the HIF plus the Providence Redevelopment Agency, they're at $219,000 a unit. So I think new construction is just expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We just came back from a national conference, and we are not alone in that. Everybody's kind of shaking their head at some of these costs.
And then for this programming, this is not a question seeking a hard cap. I'm not seeking a hard ceiling. But because we talked about it in the broader context of our programming, we want to make sure that we don't box ourselves in, but we have some guidance to ourselves. So with all of that as a preface, do we have guidance on the per unit cost that is considered in the range versus excessive for this program?
425 is the cap per unit.
Okay.
I think the average is 375 across these 13 units. So, and
you get that 400-ish figure.
I can answer that. It's basically based on what we're sort of seeing in the industry across our multifamily units,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that there's virtually no economy of scale when you're doing one or two units. So I don't think there's magic to the number. 425 seems to be realistic. We did actually get feedback from our stakeholders, and they seemed comfortable with that number.
Excellent. Who are the stakeholders?
Primarily the developers that are doing single-family houses and tend to apply under these single-family programs.
Gotcha. Okay. From the market, in effect, from the market participants. Yeah.
Other questions?
No.
Okay, we have a motion to approve action on homeownership investment fund award.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Kelly.
Thank you. This is Kelly. Trustees, if you are in favor of approving the homeownership investment fund award, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by unanimous vote.
One thing I'll offer is whether or not it would be helpful for Lauren to give some background on what this program looked like, both before and after we've made changes to the percentage of AMI. And you can see exactly where homes are being built in the state, because I think that's important as well, knowing where we're doing this for. Sound good? Okay, so we'll have that for the next trustee meeting.
What's our cycle in having these trustee meetings?
As needed.
As needed.
As needed, yeah.
That's a good
yeah.
cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As needed.
Makes sense. Great.
So certainly anytime you would like to have a meeting, you can certainly call one.
That's good.
Okay. So we have no further business for the trustees. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Moved.
Thank you. Kelly?
This is Kelly Kenyon LaValle, trustees. If you are in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Motion's approved by unanimous vote.
This is Nina this time.
This is Carol Ventura. The meeting of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund is now adjourned. CJ, you can start.